All right, welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Monday, October 9th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. And if you missed my special episode yesterday about, of course, the attacks on Israel, then be sure to check that out on my channel on Brighteon.com. But we've learned a lot in the last 24 hours, and I'm going to start out with the following statement, which I tweeted out and also posted on Telegram and Brighteon.social. If you want to follow me on Telegram, it's Real Health Ranger, by the way. Here it is. Israel is paying dearly for learning a critical lesson of history. When you turn your back on God and you reject his teachings and you embrace abortion, transgenderism, the LGBT cult, and demonic influence throughout your government and institutions, including medicine, bioweapons, science, etc., God will remove his protection from you and feed your nation to the wolves. Both Israel and the USA have lost God's blessing and must repent to regain it and to have any hope of survival. This war cannot merely be won with tanks and artillery. It can only be won with God's protection, which both Israel and the USA governments have overtly abandoned. So Israel is a nation that has rejected God in terms of its government, its institutions, its culture. Now, of course, there are people in Israel who are committed to God's teachings. There are people who are loyal to the faith of Judaism. There are those loyal to Christianity. And in the United States, also, of course, there are people who are loyal to the Word of God. But by and large, these two nations, which are the only two nations founded on Christian principles, by the way, these two nations, Israel and the United States, have rejected God. And you see it in the celebration of abortion. You see it in the rejection of the church and the teachings of the church. You also see both of these nations becoming terrorist organizations against their own people. So in the United States and in Israel, they built biological weapons. They called them vaccines, which was a lie. And then they lied to the people. They used psychological terrorism through the media and the government in order to line people up and to maim them and murder them. That's right. The Israeli government has murdered its own people. It has sacrificed its own people using the spike protein bioweapons, just as the United States government has done so as well. And you have to wonder how many military-age men in Israel or even members of the IDF are now dead because of the vaccines. And I assure you that number is much higher than the number of IDF soldiers who are now dead because of Hamas. In other words, the casualties that have been inflicted against Israel by Hamas pale in comparison to the casualties that have been inflicted upon the people of Israel by the demonic Israeli government itself, which shares its demonic influence with the current U.S. government. Both Israel and the United States are occupied by Satanists, globalists, and anti-humanists. So don't pretend for a minute that they care about their own people. In fact, I'm going to lay out for you today a full description of what I think has just happened with Israel. And it's not that this attack by Hamas is Israel's Pearl Harbor. It's more like Israel's 9/11, which was a false flag event allowed to be carried out by the deep state of the United States of America in order to, of course, expand its military power with the emotional engineering and manipulation of its population through terror. So we'll get to that in a second, but I also want to point out that Israel is a gun control nation. So a lot of Americans don't realize this, but Israel has very strict gun control. There's no Second Amendment in Israel. People have to adhere to very strict licensing. The Israeli government doesn't trust the Israeli people with guns. And if you wonder why were Hamas militants able to kill so many Israelis in this weekend raid, this surprise attack, well, so-called surprise, we'll talk about that. Part of the answer is because the Israeli government is so evil against its own people that it won't let them defend themselves. That's a reality. That's a reality. In fact, over the weekend, Benjamin Netanyahu finally announced that he's going to loosen restrictions on private gun ownership. I mean, only now, after, what, 1,000 Israelis have been murdered and entire families exterminated, some kidnapped. There are so many hostages now, or really prisoners of war, of Israeli citizens that have been taken by Hamas. And the Israeli government still says, we don't trust you to have guns, really? See, that's evil. That's pure evil. The Israeli government is run by Satanists and demonic influenced entities, which is why they support abortion and genitalia mutilations, you know, child mutilations, the LGBT agenda, and all of these demonic exports from the West that now characterize Western nations that are rooted in intense evil. And I know that what I'm saying here is not going to be popular with certain people, but it is a spiritual truth that God is watching. And when your nation mutilates children and murders them in the womb and promotes abortion and takes the guns away from the citizens and rules over the people with messages of transgenderism and exploiting children and gaslighting and brainwashing and biological weapons, when all of these things happen, God judges your nation. It's not me judging the nations. It's God judging the nations. You see, for a long time, Israel had the protection of God. It was a very special nation founded on the principles of Christianity. And in many ways, Israel pulled off, you know, miraculous military defenses over the years. I mean, the Six-Day War, for example. Also the Yom Kippur War. I don't know what the name of that was 50 years ago. But other actions, Israel had clearly some kind of divine, miraculous defense. That was the hand of God, I believe. And the hand of God has now been taken away because of all the things I just mentioned, you know, abortion, transgenderism, child mutilations, and also the rejection of God. And so if Israel is to survive as a nation, it's not going to come down to artillery and tanks, like I said. It's not about recruiting enough military men and reservists. It is about repenting against the evil that has infested Israeli culture, education, media, government, and other institutions. Repenting against Satanism and evil, repenting against abortion, halting child murder, halting child mutilations, and embracing the rule of God. And only through that can Israel once again regain God's protection. And the same is true for the United States of America. And in my estimation, by the way, neither Israel nor the United States of America will embrace God until it's too late. And so I don't think that the United States of America actually continues to exist in its current form for much longer. And based on the events over this weekend, I am not at all certain that Israel is going to survive as a nation. Now, let's talk about the more practical aspects of what's happening and how this impacts all of us, because this is going to result in massive uprisings of Palestinian groups across Canada, the United States, European nations, and elsewhere, because of what Israel is about to do to civilians in Gaza, which, of course, just adds to the many years of conflict and the horrific conflicts between the Palestinians and the Israelis that have taken place since the founding, since 1948, I believe. It has been, sadly, a graveyard of horrifying conflicts. And I want to show you this video of the Hamas militants parachuting out of the sky into the streets of Israel. And I'm not even sure exactly what part of Israel this was. I would imagine it's the southern portion. Has to be. But check out the 16-second video, because this, I call this the Red Dawn video. This is shocking. This is terrifying. But this is what Israeli citizens saw when they looked up on Saturday. Check it out. Now, understand that each one of these militants is, of course, well-armed with a rifle and many, many extra magazines, by the way, and they are parachuting into just the streets of certain towns and areas and cities in Israel, and then they just begin mass murdering everybody that they can. They go door-to-door and they shoot civilians. They kill women and children. They commit extreme terrorism against the Israeli citizens in this case. And again, the Israeli government made sure that its people were disarmed. So you could almost say that the Israeli government created the conditions for this. In fact, that's more true than you might suppose. Now, on its surface, a lot of people have said over the weekend, I have been watching analysts and reading. I've read the Wall Street Journal. That has some interesting fiction. I have listened to many analysts in videos and interviews. And the overriding opinion among many Western observers is that this attack by Hamas was an incredible intelligence failure on the part of Israel. And they point to videos like this. You know, how could Israel not have known that, you know, 100 militants were going to parachute out of the skies? And that's just in one area. How could they not have known that militants were going to successfully tear through the fences and the barricades and even take over the military compounds that were normally staffed by Israeli soldiers? They were wiped out, by the way. Many of them were just completely overrun, wiped out. How could they not have known that these Hamas militants would arrive by sea, by land, and by air, all three, and that they would, in fact, achieve tremendous gains in overrunning the military defensive positions that Israel has spent billions of dollars constructing? This is being characterized as a massive intelligence failure on Israel's part. But I say it's something different. It's not an intelligence failure. It is, in fact, what's the right way to say this? It is an Israeli deep state intelligence program success. Israel wanted this to happen. And in order to understand why, you have to go back to Barack Obama. And you have to talk about Iran. And this is going to get complex because everything in the Middle East is highly, highly complex. So during the second term of the Barack Obama administration, well, first understand that Barack Obama is a Muslim. And his mission has always been to destroy the United States and Israel, by the way. That's his mission from day one. Barack Obama is still running the Biden administration. This is Barack's third term. And Barack Obama, he made sure that billions of dollars were handed over to Iran. And also, as I've mentioned before, he made sure that a U.S. military drone landed at the airport in Tehran so that Iran could take possession of it and gain possession of the military decryption hardware. And the corporate media back then, I forgot what year that was. I don't know, it was like 2013 or something, 2014. The corporate media made a bunch of excuses and said that drone, it was a GPS spoofed by Iran. That's not at all what happened. In fact, it was landed on purpose in an act of treason against America, an act of treason that Barack Obama arranged to take place. And then, of course, Obama put billions of dollars of cash after massive international money laundering, put it on a cargo plane, landed it at the airport in Tehran, and then handed this money over to Iran, and then reactivated Iran's nuclear weapons development program. That all happened before Trump. At the same time, Barack Obama was sending hundreds of millions of dollars a year to Palestinian groups that were indirectly funding Hamas and other militant groups such as Hezbollah, for example. And this was all characterized as humanitarian aid to Palestine, when in fact it was diverted for stockpiling military equipment. Much of it was. Some of it went to humanitarian uses, but a lot of it was diverted. Now, I'm just checking the date on that. It was actually July 2015, and it was called the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA. And this was between the United States and Iran, and it is falsely reported by the mainstream media that this required Iran to dismantle its nuclear program and open its facilities to international inspections in exchange for billions of dollars of, quote, sanctions relief, which was actually billions of dollars from the United States. However, what actually happened was that Obama sent billions of dollars to Iran, and Iran then restarted its nuclear program with the blessing of Barack Obama. And Iran has been building nuclear weapons-grade plutonium ever since. Okay, so and the inspections are not taking place, and there's a whole story on that. So, also don't forget that Barack Obama, as one of his last acts as president, he had deleted from the FBI and the DOJ the entire database of Middle Eastern terrorists who were being tracked in the United States. And then, once Trump got into power, the DOJ and the FBI shifted its efforts to focusing on criminalizing Americans and considering American conservatives to be terrorists and extremists, but not radical Islamic terrorists who have since staged attacks across the United States, including in New York City and in many cities across Europe since then. But you understand, Barack Obama shifted the direction dramatically. He gave Iran the ability to build nuclear weapons, and Barack Obama refocused the United States federal government to dismiss any monitoring of radical Islam in America and to start monitoring Trump supporters. And that has, of course, now expanded recently with the FBI announcing that it's got a whole new program just to monitor Trump supporters before the 2024 election. Now, Israel knows that Barack Obama is not a friend of Israel. Israel has always known that, despite whatever has been happening in the theater of the public space. Israel knows that Trump is a friend of Israel, and Trump took many actions that confirmed that, such as moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, for example. In addition, Trump cut off the funding to Palestinian groups, which cut off funding to Hamas, or at least a lot of it. Additional funding comes from Iran, by the way, using money provided by Barack Obama, but we'll get to that. So Israel has long known that Barack Obama is an enemy of Israel, and that Barack Obama is a Muslim, and that Obama wants to see both Israel and the United States overrun. And so Israel has long known that Iran is producing nuclear weapons. Now, over the last, 18 months or so, you have seen, although this was not widely reported, there have been some really critical explosions in Iran of facilities related to nuclear production. And these facilities have been destroyed by sabotage operations carried out by Israeli Mossad. For example, in July of 2020, there was an explosion that destroyed a centrifuge assembly plant in Iran. And this was clearly Israeli sabotage operations to take it down. And even that was called the Natanz nuclear site, Natanz. The Associated Press reported on that. Even the Washington Post reported on it, and so on. Israeli sabotage of Iran's nuclear program reports this was the second major attack to sabotage operations at Natanz in less than a year. And there are others. There are blackouts that hit an Iranian nuclear site that was covered by the New York Times in April of 2021. And then also the New York Times in June of 2020, it talked about another explosion that blew up an Iranian missile construction facility. So What's actually happening? Oh, The Intercept covered this as well. And then if you look at the Atlantic Council, an article in 2020 has the following headline: U.S. and Israel shift from sanctions to alleged sabotage against Iran. And that story was in July of 2020. This was when Trump was still president. Well, I mean, technically he still is president, but he's not recognized as president. All right, so make no mistake that Iran was working very closely during the Trump administration. This is what's key to understand, with U.S. military intelligence in order to identify specific targets in Iran that needed to be bombed and destroyed in order to slow the Iranian, sorry about the different pronunciation I'm using, but the Iranian nuclear weapons program had to be stalled. And so this was a combination of Israeli Mossad sabotage teams and U.S. intelligence aiding in certain ways, probably with, you know, things like satellite imagery and like real-time satellite monitoring and things like that. And by the way, the U.S. military is doing that now in Ukraine to aid Ukraine in destroying, you know, Russian military targets. But when the election was rigged in 2020 and Joe Biden was put into office, not elected, and Trump was kicked out, then from that point, the U.S. military no longer was granted permission to help Israel in halting Iran and Iran's nuclear weapons program, because once again, with Joe Biden in office, Barack Obama was back in charge. So with Barack Obama in charge, the goal once again shifted to resuming the funding of the Palestinians, which is exactly what happened. Joe Biden resumed massive funding, and Joe Biden also released another, well, technically $16 billion for Iran. And I have a story out of Breitbart, by the way, that talks about $6 billion of that. There's a quote from ex-Trump national security advisor that says, Biden's ransom to Iran incentivized Hamas to take American hostages. And this comes from Robert C. O'Brien. He says that the Biden administration paid Iran $6 billion in ransom money, which incentivized Hamas to take Americans hostage on Saturday in Israel. And so this is just another confirmation that, you know, $6 billion was sent to, well, Iran. So Iran is using that money to now fast-track its nuclear weapons program because Trump is no longer in power, and Israel probably can't keep up with the sabotage necessary to slow down Iran's nuclear weapons program. As a result, Israel realizes that with Joe Biden in the White House and Barack Obama pulling the puppet strings, Israel is on its own against Iran, and that Israel's time is running out in order to stop the Iranian nuclear weapons program, which is probably less than, I would say, this is just my guess, less than 2 years away from being able to build and deploy a nuclear weapon against Israel. Understand? Yeah, we're talking about the total nuclear annihilation of Israel. Now, follow me on this because this gets complex. So Israel, realizing that Iran is less than 2 years away from building and deploying a nuclear weapon to destroy Israel, or multiple nuclear weapons, Israel realizes that it's going to have to wage war against Iran. It's going to have to strike Iran's nuclear facilities, many of which are, of course, in deep underground bases and facilities that are very difficult to destroy. And the only way to destroy those is to use nuclear weapons. You know, like bunker buster bombs just aren't enough to reach deep enough underground. So Israel is going to have to use nuclear weapons in order to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons construction facility. Otherwise, Israel itself will be destroyed by Iran. So Israel then, this is my analysis, this is my belief, opinions may vary, but it is my belief that Israel needed a kind of what's being called a Pearl Harbor moment, but which I'm calling a 9/11 moment. Israel needed a massive attack on Israel by Hamas forces and Hezbollah, which is happening from Lebanon right now. And they needed the the emotions of the Israeli people to be on board with a massive escalation of war against Iran. And sure enough, right on cue, the Wall Street Journal comes out with a story over the weekend. Let me see if I can even, I got to find the link to this story. Okay, here it is. Wall Street Journal, October 8th. Iran helped plot attack on Israel over several weeks. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps gave the final go-ahead last Monday in Beirut, reports the Wall Street Journal. It goes on to say officers of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps had worked with Hamas since August to devise the air, land, and sea incursions, the Wall Street Journal is now reporting. The Wall Street Journal reports, quote, a direct Iranian role would take Tehran's long-running conflict with Israel out of the shadows, raising the risk of broader conflict in the Middle East, which is exactly what Israel needs. This is what Israel wants to happen. And by the way, this article from the Wall Street Journal, highly suspicious. It's too fast. It doesn't quote anybody. I mean, it doesn't name any sources, by the way. And it's a little too convenient, by the way, but it's exactly what Israel needs. I think Israel placed this article with the Wall Street Journal. Probably this is a Mossad, maybe Mossad CIA placement with the Wall Street Journal. And it's designed to link the Hamas attacks to Iran so that Israel can escalate its retaliatory attacks on Hamas to include Iran, because again, the goal is to take out Iran's nuclear weapons program, which again threatens the existence of Israel. So, to kind of encapsulate this, I believe that Israel's government, you know, top Mossad and Netanyahu and other government officials, here's what I think happened. I think they sat down months ago and they said, okay, look, we're on our own. The United States is not protecting us anymore because Barack Obama is in charge. Iran is building nuclear weapons. They're less than 2 years away. That we, Israel, we're going to have to stage some kind of a Pearl Harbor event or allow it to happen. We'll pretend it's an intelligence failure, but we'll turn off the radar. We'll, shut off all the intel sources, whatever. We'll allow Israel to be attacked. We'll try to minimize the casualties to just a few thousand, kind of like 9/11 in America. But we'll make sure that there's, terrified Israeli civilians and women being beaten to death and, children having their throats slit and just all these horrible things. We'll make sure that that's all over TV everywhere, all over the internet everywhere. Because we have to invoke the emotional agreement of the Israeli people and the West. It's got to also get the Western countries on board, United States, Canada, Western Europe, and so on, so that Israel can take the gloves off and go to war with not just Palestinians, not just Gaza, but with Iran. And so the plan is to escalate this to the point where Israel can nuke underground bunkers in Iran in order to stop Iran's nuclear weapons program. And the calculation inside Israel is, it goes something like this, that if we don't do something, then all of Israel is destroyed and everybody dies. So if we sacrifice, maybe 1,000 or a couple thousand Israelis, quote, for the greater good, this is what I think is happening. If we allow them to be killed, if we allow the blood on TV, then those lives lost, as horrifying as that is, because even the people in the Israeli government that made this decision, they don't wish to see their own people die, by the way. But they're making the decision that sacrificing these people is a necessary price to pay for being able to stop Iran. That's what I think is happening. So this is an Israeli 9/11 that is being carried out by decision makers in Israel who in their own minds are making a very difficult, but ultimately in their minds, a correct decision to reduce the number of dead Israelis by allowing some relatively small number to be murdered and killed and kidnapped and whatever, which is what you're seeing right now. Because it is not convincing that this is, and the attacks by Hamas were able to defeat Israel's intelligence network. That's absurd. That's absurd. Israel has a very sophisticated and well-funded intelligence network. Mossad is embedded in Hamas. It's embedded in Gaza. It's embedded in Hezbollah. It's embedded in Lebanon. It's embedded in the West Bank. It's embedded in agents in Jordan and Egypt and Syria and all over. Come on. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, I assume everybody knows that. Everybody in Israel knows that. Mossad is everywhere. And if this planning actually took many months, which clearly it did, because this was a highly coordinated and rather sophisticated attack on Israel involving, again, land, sea, and air, parachute vehicles, lots of training, lots of watercraft, you know, a lot of ammunition and firearms being gathered and so on. This took a lot of communications. There is no way that Mossad did not intercept those communications. Mossad knew, which means the Israeli government knew. They knew this was coming, and they stood down. That's what makes it 9/11. Just like on September 11th, 2001, the Bush administration knew that this was going to happen, so they ordered the military to stand down. They needed the attack on the Twin Towers, and then they needed to, you know, blow Building 7. For lots of reasons, including destruction of evidence from the CIA, things like that. Massive money laundering by the CIA under Bush, of course. I mean, gosh, read your history, folks. Read true history, not the BS version that you get from the media or Wikipedia. Real history is a lot more fascinating, it turns out, and horrifying. But 9/11 was allowed to happen so that the U.S. could, of course, pass more domestic surveillance, an expansion of the military-industrial complex, and begin to spy on, initially, quote, terrorists, and then now to spy on the American people in order to control all future elections and control all speech. So the Hamas attacks in Israel have been allowed to happen. This is Israel's 9/11. Now, so far, as I was reading it over the weekend, 260 bodies have been recovered at that music festival where a lot of youth, Israeli youth, were dancing and they had the rave. Maybe you've seen some of the videos. They were dancing and parting down as the Hamas militants were landing in paragliders a few hundred yards away. And then the militants just opened fire and they've killed at least 260 people who were at that music festival. Again, this was allowed to happen. They needed the dead bodies. They needed the emotional outrage. The Israeli government needs this. And it's, I don't know, when we're young, we're foolish, but this seems especially foolish to me, by the way. Not that it's their fault. I feel sorry for the people who were killed, but I don't know who's going out to parties right now, given the state of our world. We live in a very dangerous time. This is a dangerous world. Violence can erupt anywhere, as it proved here this weekend. This is not a good time to go out into the desert and do like a Burning Man version in Israel. It's not a good time to just be oblivious to your surroundings and have loud music and doing drugs and partying down. Not a smart move, frankly. And I would just advise everybody listening to be alert, be prepared, be vigilant for all kinds of horrible things that are about to happen, including in North America, which I'll get to. But also the people of Israel have largely become, well, not only have they rejected God for the most part, but they have become like Americans and Canadians and Europeans. They've become oblivious to reality. So they, you know, they tune into CNN and then they watch, they listen to their government and they obediently line up and take their vaccine shots. And then they don't know, like, why are these men parachuting out of the sky? Really? You don't know the whole history? How can you live in Israel and not know the history of the conflict with Palestinians? And, you know, even some of the ways that Israel has conducted door-to-door house arrests of Palestinians and has taken essentially prisoners of war and called it, you know, administrative detainment. How could you not expect that there would be some backlash at some point against this, you know? I mean, if you live in a nation where your government treats Palestinians like subhumans, you should expect there to be some backlash. It's, it kind of reminds me, in fact, of the way the Ukrainian government treated the Russian ethnic people of the Donbass region. You know, Zelensky was, for many years, was bombarding civilian targets in the Donbass region with military rounds, you know, artillery, killing civilians. And eventually somebody decided to do something about it. And that's, you know, the Russian special military operation is the result of that, with the support of the locals in the Donbass region who were tired of being abused and exterminated by Ukraine. Well, you know, regardless of what you think or what I think about Israel versus Palestine and the whole history of the region, it all started out as Palestine before 1948. And then Israel came in and basically said, this is going to be our land right here. And then they forcefully rounded up Palestinians and moved them out. And, you know, forced them into smaller and smaller areas as Israel took over and expanded more and more land. How could you not anticipate that there would be conflict from that, growing conflict? How could you not know that there would be generations of anger? Because, you know, you're displacing people from areas that their ancestors once inhabited. When you treat populations with violence, you should expect there to be violence in response. Just historically, that's almost always been true. And now, in a practical manner, the situation is that Israel has now given the green light to its military forces to freely engage in essentially any way they wish, anyone who is identified as a Hamas militant. So essentially now the rules of engagement have been lifted. I mean, it's a free-for-all right now. And in fact, the government of Israel has ordered all Israelis who live within, I think, 4 kilometers of Gaza to clear out. You know why? Because Israel is about to freaking obliterate Gaza. I mean, they're going to turn Gaza to rubble. And there will be ramifications for that also that we all need to keep in mind. In addition, the Israeli government has ordered its citizens to evacuate the border area near Lebanon. So in the northern Israel region, that's also going to be a war zone. At the same time, Israel has called up all of its reservists 20 years of age and older. So I don't know how many people that is, but essentially every young male in Israel who had any military training is now being activated. They're all going to be brought back in to the military. The United States and other Western nations are going to bring in all kinds of equipment, whatever they have left after they sent most of their equipment to Ukraine, by the way. That's, I mean, in essence, here we have the second front of this war. And the question is, you know, how much military equipment does the West even have remaining at this point? Not much is the answer. But Israel is going to escalate this war as is necessary, as I described, from their point of view, in order to take out Iran's nuclear facilities. So in order to do that, first, they're going to wage a ground assault against Gaza. They're also likely to attempt certain strategic attacks against Hezbollah forces in southern Lebanon. And there will be attacks in the West Bank area as well. But Gaza in particular will be targeted. And the level of force that Israel is going to use against Gaza, this is going to get ugly. Because in retaliation against what just happened, Israel is going to end up killing Palestinian women and children and families in Gaza. That's what's going to happen. In essence, that has already begun. You know, there are buildings that have been destroyed in Gaza, but you're going to see women and children. Well, you might not see it because the Western media won't ever show the Palestinian victims, of course. But Israel is going to absolutely gut Gaza. In fact, Netanyahu and other Israeli military leaders have said that they have to now completely destroy Hamas. Hamas has to cease to exist. And you cannot do that without completely obliterating Gaza. All right, so that's step one. Oh, wow. Now, Turkey. Turkey's Erdogan said over the weekend, issued a warning to the United States and Israel. Erdogan said that Turkey stands with Palestine and that the United States had better not get involved in this conflict. Now, Turkey, of course, has a significant military might. Turkey has, I don't know how many tanks, it's probably thousands, no doubt thousands, and artillery units and soldiers and so on. Turkey has a considerable military force. When the United States, let me back up. When Israel attacks Gaza and utterly destroys Gaza, there will be reactions by Palestinian ethnic groups all over the world. There was a fight in Florida over the weekend. Let me play this for you, because this is Palestinian people celebrating the attacks against Israel. And there were similar celebrations in New York City, Chicago, Toronto, and other cities. And they met pro-Israel protesters on the streets of Florida. Let me play this video for you, because this is a tiny, tiny taste of things to come. And this is from FloridianPress.com, or The Floridian. This is where this video comes from. So check this out. All right, so that is a tiny little taste of things to come. And the harder Israel attacks Gaza, the more Palestinian groups across North America and Europe are going to revolt against the West. And frankly, the more the United States aids Israel in this effort, the more Palestinian, uprisings and revolt activities that we will see in the United States and Canada and Europe, like I said. So remember how yesterday I talked about sabotage of infrastructure in the United States and how Middle Eastern forces would be given an activation day to take out America's power grid infrastructure, railroads, ports, refineries, police stations, and communications infrastructure, and water delivery infrastructure as well. Well, I have been saying this for a long time, long before Israel was attacked. Now that Israel has been attacked, and this is a Palestinian versus Israeli conflict, there are Palestinian groups that are on the verge of snapping. And if there begin to surface images of Palestinian women and children that are blown up, run over by, you know, Israeli tanks, or shot, killed by Israeli forces, and no doubt this is what's about to happen, folks, then Palestinians are going to absolutely erupt. And then you're going to have a domestic chaos in the United States in certain cities because of this. I mean, at least in certain areas. It's not going to threaten the existence of America, but it's going to add to the chaos and lawlessness that's already happening from other reasons, you know, for other reasons. And it's going to put a lot of political pressure, and it's going to cause more division across society. It's going to be, you know, you're going to see everybody demanding that you have to be 100% pro-Israel. And if you're not 100% pro-Israel, then, you know, you're with the terrorists. Just like we saw with Ukraine, if you're not 100% with Zelensky, then you must work for Putin, right? We're going to see that same narrative now. It's just going to shift. Well, it shifted from vaccines to Ukraine, and now it's going to shift to Israel. But as I'm explaining here, the issue is far more complex than just being pro-Israel or anti-Israel. In fact, as I'm explaining, I believe that the Israeli government is allowing this attack on the Israeli people for, quote, the greater good as they see it in their own minds in order to stop Israel from being nuked by Iran, okay? So there's a complexity that nobody in the media is going to talk about except alternative media, where people are smarter and more informed. But in mainstream media, you're never going to hear that whatsoever. It's all just going to be, you know, Hamas bad, Palestine bad, Israel good, no matter what, with no discussion of the subtleties, the histories, the complexities, or anything of that kind. And, you know, I'm sorry, I don't buy the, you know, the Saturday cartoon special version of world events. It's actually way more complicated than that. And I try to give you the full analysis. And as I've even stated here, the Israeli leaders believe they're doing the right thing by allowing their own people to be killed by Hamas, because they think that's necessary to invoke the emotional support of the Israeli people for the greater war that Israel believes it must engage in order to defeat Iran, so that Israel may continue to exist as a nation and not get nuked into extinction. You understand? That's what I'm talking about here. And frankly, that was the same kind of rationale that the United States of America faced in World War II. And that's why Pearl Harbor was allowed to take place. The United States Navy was ordered to, you know, turn off the radar. Don't pay any attention to those incoming Zeros and Japanese bombers. You know, Pearl Harbor was allowed to happen in order to gain public support for World War II. Because until that moment, the American people didn't want to fight in the Pacific. You know, they were already fighting in Europe, didn't want to fight a two-front war. So Pearl Harbor was necessary to get America on board with that, and then we ended up in a two-front war. And notably, the victories in that two-front war were only achieved in two key ways. Well, number one, the industrial might of the United States in the World War II era, which is that the United States produced a massive amount of steel and gunpowder and brass and, you know, equipment, firearms, you name it, airplanes, tanks, military vehicles, all of that. And that doesn't exist anymore. The industrial centers of the world are China and Russia, frankly, and, you know, a few other countries like Korea. But the U.S. doesn't have the industrial advantage anymore. And secondly, the way that the United States defeated Japan in World War II was by nuking civilian cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, two of them, two atomic weapons, which were in the 15 kiloton range, by the way, which is very tiny compared to today. But two atomic weapons dropped on civilian populations, which killed hundreds of thousands of Japanese civilians. So do not underestimate the willingness of governments, and this goes for Israel as well, to use nuclear weapons when faced with what it believes to be an existential threat, to use nuclear weapons against civilians. So, for example, if Israel were to use nuclear artillery against Gaza, I would not be surprised. And perhaps that is why the Israeli people are being told to evacuate 4 kilometers away, because the blast radius of nuclear artillery is rather limited. And if Israel feels sufficiently threatened in terms of its existence, which it is feeling that right now, I mean, you can see what's about to happen. Israel's about to be attacked on 3 sides. And if Turkey gets involved, then, oh my goodness, Israel will resort to launching nuclear weapons against civilian populations in Gaza. The United States already did that. Israel won't be the first nation to do it. Understand? I'm trying to reinforce these points because people forget history, and they forget that the United States already justified exactly that same thing against Japan, even when America had essentially already won the war against the Japanese Empire, by the way. And those nuclear weapons weren't really necessary. So do not underestimate the dynamics that are at play here and the horrors that can yet be unleashed upon Palestinian civilians or Israeli civilians or Iran, even innocent civilians in Iran who have nothing to do with the weapons program there but just happen to be in the blast radius. You know what I'm saying? Do not be surprised at what happens from this point forward, because you are now, I mean, if you thought World War III was going to start with Russia, and that still is probably on track to occur, you just got another World War III that has been deliberately allowed to escalate in order to achieve the ultimate goal of destroying Iran's nuclear weapons program, which only exists because of Barack freaking Obama. This all traces back to Barack Obama, one of the most evil, satanic creatures to have ever occupied the Oval Office, and yet the American people fell for it, and they elected him. They didn't have to cheat in the 2008 election, by the way. Barack Obama actually got the votes because he's very charismatic. The American people voted for him, and in doing so, they sealed the fate of Israel, you know, almost 2 decades later. So never forget that you are watching a kind of Truman Show. Never forget that everything that you're seeing is scripted. Now, there are some financial implications that we're going to get into here in just a second, but I got to read you a few headlines. Here's a headline out of Independent Sentinel. Hamas thanks Iran for all the weapons, missiles, and tanks. This is a tweet from Jim Ferguson. Breaking news, Israel spokesperson of Izzuddin al-Qassam Brigades Abu, Obaidah, I can't pronounce these Islamic names, but that guy said, quote, "We thank the Islamic Republic of Iran who provided us with weapons, money, and other equipment. He gave us missiles to destroy Zionist fortresses and helped us with standard anti-tank missiles," and so on and so forth. So they're thanking Iran, and Iran thanks Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Barack Obama thanks the Democrat voters, the same oblivious morons in America who voted for Joe Biden, but not as many voted for Joe Biden. So that's why they had to rig it. But they did vote for Barack Obama. Now, there are huge implications in financial markets. As I'm recording this, which is early in the morning of Monday, October 9th, early hours of the morning, gold and silver have spiked over the weekend in you know, pre-trading prices. Gold and silver will likely really shoot up. But not just now, but in the months ahead as Israel goes to town on Gaza. And the crazier the battle in Gaza gets, the more people are going to move into gold and silver and also treasuries. Now, that's an interesting implication because treasuries, the 10-year treasury was creeping up towards 5%, which, as we had done the math, was going to start costing the United States over $1.5 trillion a year in interest on newly issued Treasury debt, at least as the debt rolls over into that rate tier. But with this uncertainty in the world now exploding everywhere, a lot of investors are going to sell stocks and move into Treasuries because they perceive Treasuries as a kind of a safe haven. That's going to cause Treasury rates to fall. So what you should expect, in my analysis, I mean, I'm not your financial advisor, so don't place financial bets on what you're hearing here. I mean, do your own research. But I would expect that you're going to see Treasury yields fall, which means that Treasuries are going to become worth more. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Yields will fall because it will be easier for the U.S. Treasury to sell the debt because there will be more willing buyers who are trying to get out of the stock market and into the relative perceived safety of the Treasuries. So interesting, isn't it, that the United States, the Treasury and the Federal Reserve benefit from the perception of chaos and uncertainty. In other words, the more chaos is happening in the world, the more easily the U.S. Federal Reserve and Treasury can sell more debt, which means it costs less money for them to print money. Interesting, right? So there's a benefit to them for Hamas attacking Israel. There's also a benefit to the military-industrial complex. So just as the support for more weapons for Ukraine was running out across the U.S. Congress, especially with possibly the new speaker, if it's Jim Jordan, he's opposed to more funding for Ukraine. But nobody in the House will oppose funding for Israel because they don't want to be painted as, of course, anti-Semitic, right? So there's going to be endless money for Israel, just in time to take up the slack when public support for Ukraine was running out and the weapons contractors were wondering where their next billion-dollar paycheck is going to come from. Oh, guess what? Thanks to Hamas, there's another payday in the weapons industry. So what you're going to see now across the House and the Senate is you're going to see Republicans and Democrats unite, even though secretly Democrats are with the Palestinians and with Hamas, but publicly they can't be anti-Israel. So you're going to see massive support for weapons and funding and intelligence resources for Israel. All right. Now, I already said gold and silver are going to spike. In addition, oil is going to start trending upward, and we're probably going to see oil. We could easily see it at $150 a barrel by the end of this year. Of course, that depends a lot on what Iran does and what Saudi Arabia does, and to some extent what Russia does. But it would not be out of the realm of possibility to see $150 a barrel in oil by the end of the year. Now, a simple rule of thumb in all of this to watch is the more aggressive Israel's retaliation against Gaza, against Hamas, and against Hezbollah in South Lebanon, again, the stronger the escalation of Israel's attacks, the higher the prices are going to go in gold, silver, and oil, and the lower the yields are going to go in treasuries for the reasons that I just described. That's a pretty good rule of thumb. Also, the more aggressive the attacks against Gaza by Israel, the more revolts and uprisings and potentially acts of sabotage you're going to see by certain Palestinian or Hamas-affiliated groups in the United States and Canada and Europe. So we are looking at a future of increased uncertainty, chaos, more money printing, and importantly for those of you listening in North America, the potential for random acts of violence on the streets of America carried out by Palestinian-affiliated groups that are reacting to Israel's inevitable killing of innocent civilians in Gaza. Because that's the next step here. That's what's going to happen next. Israel is going to turn Gaza into rubble. But in doing so, they're going to have to let's just be honest, they're going to have to murder a lot of Palestinian families and displace a lot of Palestinian families, many of whom have, of course, nowhere else to go, many of whom their ancestors were already displaced from other pieces of land that are now Israel from, you know, the last few generations. And this is going to set off, like I said, a massive breaking point in the minds of many ethnic Palestinians around the world. And some of them will react. Some of them will react with violence wherever they are. And one of the likely results of this, although it pains me to even suggest this, but it's an obvious thing. I'm sorry to say it, but you're going to see terrorist attacks against Jewish centers of worship, probably in New York City and other major cities across Western nations. So those of you who are listening to this, if you are of Jewish faith, I hope to God that you are pro-Second Amendment. I hope that you understand the need for security. I hope that you carry concealed wherever you can. If you are not Second Amendment, I mean, maybe it would be crazy for me to ask, you know, how can you even consider yourself a Jew if you don't believe in the right of self-defense, given the history of what happened to the Jewish people in World War II, right? JPFO, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. If you are Jewish and you don't believe in the Second Amendment, then you are living with a fatal contradiction. Every Jewish person should be pro-Second Amendment. Frankly, every person of any faith should be pro-Second Amendment, but specifically people of Jewish faith, given what's happening right now. Jewish centers are going to be targeted, most likely, across North America. Which, you know, I have to put this comment on the record. There are many, I would say the vast majority of Jewish people in America vote Democrat, which means that the Jewish people voted for Barack Obama, who funded Iran, who funded Hamas that attacked Israel. So if you're a Jewish American and you have voted Democrat, do you understand that you brought this upon yourself? That you brought this violence to your doorstep? Democrats are always shocked when they have to experience the consequences of their poor decisions. Democrats support a wide open borders, for example, and then they flip out, well, our cities are being overrun by illegals. Well, what did you think was going to happen? You know, Democrats, they defund police, and then they flip out and freak out, oh, we're being overrun with crime. Well, what did you think was going to happen? Well, Democrat Jews voted for Barack Hussein Obama, who provided billions to Iran, that provided billions to Hamas, that launched 5,000 rockets that killed Jewish people, that set off this escalation that's going to result in, you know, militant groups in America attacking Jewish centers of worship. How did you not know this was going to happen? You voted for the people that made this happen. If you're a Jewish Democrat, you voted for it. So don't blame anybody else when you had a role in making this happen. It's always astonishing to me how Democrats never realize the implications of their own decisions, and then they're all freaked out when it comes back on them. Like, what? Yeah, what did you think was going to happen? Now, by the way, the Israeli government has cut all electricity to Gaza. Do you know that? So if you're a Palestinian family living in Gaza, you have no electricity right now. It also shows you, just as a general principle, wherever you are in the world, that governments can cut off your electricity if they don't support you, they don't like what you're doing, and they can then stage an attack to exterminate you. You know, this could be true in America, it could be true in Europe, anywhere. Oh, and by the way, don't forget that millions of those of Islamic faith have swept into Western Europe and now occupy cities like London and Paris and so on, all across Western Europe. So the level of reaction, if the EU gets involved in this conflict in Israel, the level of reaction and uprising against them across Europe is going to be truly biblical. European cities should be prepared for massive, massive displays of rage and violence, arson, you name it, all across their major cities. Now, here's another piece of the puzzle for you. Lindsey Graham, the senator, who, as you know, is a warmonger. He's a neocon. And he's been, of course, pushing heavily for funding weapons for Ukraine. Well, here's a story from Gateway Pundit that underscores what I've been saying about Iran. Here it is. Warmonger Senator Lindsey Graham warns that if Hezbollah intervenes in the Israel-Palestine conflict, U.S. must respond against Iran. Yeah. And Lindsey Graham, his tweet, quote, Iran should pay dearly for any escalation directed at Israel involving Hezbollah. So are you starting to understand that Lindsey Graham is also on Israel's payroll and that he dropped this comment in order to help justify Israel's coming attacks against Iran? Now, Hezbollah is a much more capable military force compared to Hamas. Hezbollah has much more equipment and funding, and historically, in various skirmishes, in fact, Hezbollah has defeated Israel's military earlier in the early 2000s. Hezbollah is not a minor force, and Hezbollah has already been launching rockets across the Lebanon-Israeli border into Israeli territory. So it's very clear that Hezbollah has been well-funded by Iran, if not, you know, other sources. And here's a statement from Ibrahim al-Musawi, the spokesperson for Hezbollah, by the way. And I guess this is translated, obviously, but says, quote, the time of defeats has passed and the time of victories has come. This equation is the one that will prevail at the level of every axis of resistance from Palestine to Yemen. What comes after October 7th, 2023 is not the same as before. This is a strategic historical juncture. Israel will not continue as it was, and neither will the resistance and its axis. Days of glory, glory and victory. Yeah, see? So Hezbollah is seeing this as a major historical turning point where they were able to show with Hamas, they were able to show that Israel can be defeated. Israel can be overrun. But then again, I think that Israel allowed this to happen. So I think Israel's defenses are actually stronger than what this appears to show. It's just that Israel needed this to take place in order to get public support for what Israel plans to do next, which is going to be absolutely horrific. Even Lindsey Graham says, quote, if this war escalates with Hezbollah, we are all going to come after you, he says, talking about Iran. To my Israeli friends, he says, do whatever you have to do for as long as you have to do it. Is that not sort of, you know, an open invitation to start using nuclear weapons? He says to Iran, if this war escalates with Hezbollah, we are going to come after you. Yeah. Sorry, I already read that. That's Lindsey Graham. Are you starting to see the connect the dots here? Oh, by the way, also on the Gateway Pundit, Code Pink, which is the communist group, they've endorsed Hamas attacks against Israel. They claim to be anti-war groups, and they are announcing now pro-Hamas rallies across the United States. Let's see. Code Pink was founded in 2002 to oppose the war in Iraq. And the Code Pink co-founder, Jody Evans, was a fundraising bundler for Barack Obama and his campaign in 2008. So Code Pink, communism, and Islam, and Barack Obama, and Hamas, they all go together. They're all in the same boat. So Code Pink says, quote, the U.S.-backed Israeli apartheid regime inflicts daily settler violence and terror on Palestinians. Israel, says Code Pink, is an occupying force that Palestinians, she says, have every right to resist it. And then another Code Pink co-founder, Susan Benjamin, said, quote, "The Israeli government can't keep 2 million people trapped in an open-air prison in Gaza and not expect resistance." I mean, she has a point in the resistance part, which I kind of pointed out earlier. I mean, obviously, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be resistance, given the history of what used to be all Palestinian territory, obviously, you know, before 1948. And they're calling it, you know, quote, 75 years of occupation and apartheid. So you can see, I mean, this is like a tinderbox. And someone just lit the match. And frankly, it's Barack Obama, Iran, and Hamas just lit the match. Now, this thing's going to explode everywhere. Rallies for in support of Hamas by Code Pink are listed for New York City, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Chicago, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Austin, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and in Canada, and so on. So you see what's happening? Yep. Pay attention, because this is going to escalate by the day. Let me give credit to my sponsor today, which is the Treasure Island Precious Metals Company. And of course, right now, before this thing escalates even more, may be an outstanding time to get some of your assets into gold and silver, physical metals that tend to hold value even as currencies collapse throughout history. Of course, do your own research. I'm not your financial advisor, and I'm not offering any speculation on the price of gold and silver. But if gold and silver makes sense for you, contact them at metalswithmike.com. And I would absolutely put a move on this, because the more Israel attacks Gaza, the more gold and silver are likely to become in very high demand as people rush for safety. And in fact, I would imagine that Treasure Island is going to be very, very busy handling orders all day today and all this week. So contact them now if you're interested. Again, metalswithmike.com, and you can also check out their real-time pricing on their website. I just picked up a little bit more silver, I don't know, a week or two ago. I'm really glad I did, because silver was at such a low price. It was crazy. I was like, this is crazy. This is like, they're practically giving it away, you know? And so I got a little bit more, and feel very good about that at this point. And just understand that this has only just begun. This is going to be a multi-year war in the Middle East. And remember that the Israeli government disarmed its own civilians and allowed this situation to happen. There are no excuses for that, but that's what the government did. Because again, the government of Israel is run by, you know, Satanists and anti-humanists. Again, they mass murdered their own people with vaccine bioweapon injections, by the way, some of which were invented in Israel. And of course, they lied to their own people about the effectiveness and safety and all of that. I mean, in fact, even the casualties that have been committed by Hamas against Israel, as horrifying as they are, and I absolutely reject the outbursts of violence against the people of Israel, but those casualties pale in comparison to the number of Israeli civilians killed by the Israeli government and the pharmaceutical complex. Just straight out, the numbers don't even compare. So if you want to know who's killing Israelis, it's pharmaceuticals, vaccines, and the government that pushes them. That's who's killing Israelis. As I pointed that out yesterday as well, it's just not as graphic in the way they die. So you don't see that on videos. And it is astonishing to me that the people, the innocent people of Israel, the citizens, they now see Hamas as a dire threat against their safety and their lives, but most of them still don't see their own corrupt government as the threat, even though their government killed more of them than Hamas could ever hope to achieve through the bioweapons. So there is a globalist effort to exterminate Israel and America, and sadly, the people in charge of both of those countries, they're on board with the globalists, not the people. I mean, why do you think Israel disarmed its own citizens? Because they wanted them to be killed. They want Israel to be vulnerable. You know, for the reasons I mentioned here, for this bigger scheme of getting public support behind this escalation of war to target Iran. Similarly, why does the United States government keep a border wide open? Why does the U.S. government allow the ongoing invasion of the United States of America to have America occupied by non-Americans, illegal aliens, that are taking over Chicago and New York and many other cities? Why? Why is this happening? Well, it's all on purpose. It's to replace the American people and to ultimately bring down the United States of America. That it's the dissolution of the United States that is desired by those who are running the country. Israel's cabinet secretary Yossi Fuchs says, quote, "The first Gaza war is planned to be the last one." He tweeted that out. The first Gaza war is planned to be the last one. He says, essentially, that there's only going to be one final act of Israeli destruction of Gaza. And that act is coming. It might be weeks away. It might start in days. It could happen tomorrow with nuclear artillery. I don't know. But when it does happen, everything that I've warned about in this podcast is going to erupt in biblical proportions all over the planet. I mean, this is exactly what I've been warning people about, this kind of thing. Get prepared, be ready for infrastructure disruptions, be ready for terrorism, acts of war and violence. And again, it all comes back to this rejection of God. If America and Israel would just stop worshiping Satanism and abortion and child mutilations and the LGBT delusions and just stop being rooted in evil, then all of this would shift. If the nations would repent and beg God for forgiveness and intervention, Israel could be saved. The United States could be saved. So I guess that's the question. Will this be painful enough for these countries to actually turn to God instead of rejecting him? I doubt it. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Israel and the United States both do not survive in their current form, frankly, because I don't think that the leaders want anything to do with God. I think they're 100% dedicated to their Satanism and their destruction of their own countries. That's ultimately where I think this is going. I mean, I know Israel wants to stop Iran from nuking Israel. That's one level. That's the practical military level. But at the higher level, the globalist level, and the puppets in Israel's government who answer to the globalists, they don't want Israel to exist at all. And frankly, they don't want humanity to exist. They're all about global depopulation. But Israel and the United States are the two nations that have most strenuously resisted the globalist agendas in different ways, but especially the United States. And that's why the U.S. is slated for destruction. And that's why Israel has to be, in the minds of the globalists, completely overrun. Oh, and by the way, the Secretary of Defense of the United States has now redirected the movement of the USS Gerald R. Ford Carrier Strike Group to the Eastern Mediterranean. He's also augmented the U.S. Air Force squadrons in the regions, including F-35s, F-15s, F-16s, and A-10s. But the Gerald Ford Carrier Strike Group is the most modern carrier strike group. That group has, what, hundreds of cruise missiles that can strike specific, Hamas targets. So if they start launching cruise missiles, then what does Turkey do? Does Turkey send tanks for the ground war? Because the U.S. can't win a ground war against Turkey, or even against, Syrian forces, nor against Afghanistan, nor Iran. The U.S. is running out of weapons and munitions, and it's already sent everything over to Ukraine. So you see the conundrum here. Read the book of Revelation because you're living it. and be prepared for almost anything to come down. In the meantime, for as long as we can function, healthrangerstore.com, we will continue to manufacture and ship our storable food supplies, our iodine, our emergency first aid, colloidal silver products, and many other products that you will find to be incredibly useful during uncertain times. So check us out, healthrangerstore.com. We appreciate your support, and that's what keeps us going. And I've got an update from Michael Yan here about the ongoing invasion. I've got foreign aid articles of Joe Biden sending billions to Iran. It's just on and on and on. So all I can say is get ready. I'm going to wrap this up here because I know it's kind of on the long side. And I'm not going to run an interview for you here today because of the duration here. But I get ready. Get ready. Because this is coming to you. You know, the outbursts of violence by Palestinian or Hamas militants in the United States are going to happen. And if you attend a Jewish temple, a Jewish place of worship, I would begin taking extra special precautions for your security and safety, and maybe talk to your church about their, you know, concealed carry policies, because I wouldn't go to a Jewish place of worship without being armed for defense, frankly. That's my opinion, but you have to decide what's right for you. Given what's happening in the world, I would not want to be disarmed and then get hit by a bunch of terrorists. Crazy times. All right, well, in the end here, let's pray that Israel and the United States may turn to God and stop the abortion murder and stop the mutilation of children and stop the Democrats and stop the demons and the Satanists. We can pray and we can get prepared, and then perhaps we'll be able to live through all this, but it's going to get very chaotic. Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, Brighteon.com, and you can also follow me on naturalnews.com, Brighteon.social, where my username is HealthRanger. You can follow me on Twitter, HealthRanger, and also Telegram, Real Health Ranger. All right, thank you for your support. God bless you all. Be safe.